Damn, my AP gone psycho. Lil' mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Homo for clowns and all the balls. Oh, my AP gone psycho. Lil' mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands. Oh, you stuck in the friend zone. I tell that 4, 5, 5. Hey, 100 bins inside my shorts.
3 to go. Denham Brown, 4-3. No good. By George, the dream is alive.
And it looks like we're heading to, oh no! We're heading to another By George podcast.
Welcome back. We have plenty to talk about today.
Plenty.
I mean, 3 buzzer beaters in a row by the same guy?
Buzzer beater Boyd. What could I say?
Buzzer bearded Boyd?
Yes.
Or Mr. How many nicknames has this guy got in 1 week?
Uncle Nate. Call him what you will. The man's clutch. So lately we're seeing a lot of heroics by Boyd. Let's just do a quick recap. We don't have to go that in depth. But let's touch on the St. Joe's game, right? So we got a pretty much a last second hurled up shot. From Boyd, literally, I mean, there was just no time in the clock.
I mean, it was pretty insane because Otis legitimately got tackled, still somehow made the pass, didn't get credited for the assist, but
no
it winds
foul,
up in Boyd's hands, shoots it, makes it, game winner.
Sure.
Shockingly, the next game,
we have UMass, which, again, we had another massive lead, blew it late in the second. Marr does his thing, makes 3 clutch free throws at the end of the game. Gets us to overtime.
I was in complete panic mode.
Yeah.
It was a home game, so we were there.
Great crowd, by the way. Thank you. Thank you, Mason Nation.
Paulson actually told us in the presser that, you know, he knew that if St. Joe's scored, or UMass. If UMass scored, that they would celebrate and we could beat them down the court. So, again, Otis and Boyd are involved in another buzzer beater. Otis gets all the way down the court. Gives a beautiful pass.
Dishes.
Boyd finished with a left-hand layup.
Easy layup.
Game over.
And that's that. Where he gets the that's sort of where he gets the moniker Mr. SportsCenter by then.
Right.
We go into the third game, a game that we are actually favored to lose by 8, I believe, down at VCU. We come out strong. We use Cali early. AJ's gets knocked out with a concussion. Mason essentially blows another lead. Kind of, we're starting to see a theme here. What do we see late? We see Otis and Marr completely take over the game.
Yep.
And Boyd hits another game winner.
Yeah, and it didn't necessarily hit it. It was just a tip in, which was just pure effort. So let's rewind a little bit. 3 buzzer beaters, yes. But I actually went down to the game. Me, David, Ron Johnson, left at 3:00, beautiful weather, windows down, bump and wrap the whole way. Get there, have plenty of time. We eat at Village.
You don't even know the name. It was forgettable, apparently.
No, but it was banging. So we show up. I think it was called like Village Center or whatever. And happy hour in Richmond is stupid.
It's ridiculous.
We were drinking $2 beers. Actually, I'm just kidding. If you're listening, we were not drinking. But
$2 colas.
Yeah.
Huh?
Ron actually did have a Pepsi.
Oh.
fried chicken. On special, $9. You got all 4 pieces, 2 sides. It was amazing.
Back in the day, you can go to Tobacco Company and get dollar shots of cola.
So did we even know that was going to be the Mason meetup? No.
No.
But guess what? Like, we run into 10 fans there. Chris Durlack, guy named Tony, shot the shit with, bunch of high donors.
Right. And I believe you actually even took a picture of the dedicated crowd that showed up. It was a nice little group
we,
there.
Yeah, we at least had 25 guys there, including some parents. AJ's parents are going to be there.
Shame, too, because he was getting utilized heavily early in that first half, and he got knocked out. We'll wait to see what happened. What happens with the UR game.
We talked to him after the game.
Well,
I mean, he said he was fine. So we'll wait and find out.
For the official.
So we hang out with a bunch of Mason fans, completely unexpected, make our way.
What are your thoughts on the Siegel Center?
You know, everyone wants to call it, like a high school gym and whatnot.
They use that Final Four money for that VIP box seating
and it's lit. I mean, I wish. I mean, Mason, you're going behind a curtain with, you know, with your season ticket drink special pass. Right. So, I mean, here you got every single corner, and then in the upper section, it was like TVs and a pool table. I mean, it was.
But
it looked like a place I wanted to be.
All the TVs and all the pool tables couldn't buy them a win that night, right?
They could not.
And that's a rare. I believe the stat was we had lost 10 of 11 to VCU. Going into that
the
game.
Last time we beat VCU in Richmond, I was there.
Right.
That was in 2011.
Popped
right.
off.
And
right.
we went, and I think I tell the story every single time, but this like scrawny white kid looked like he was on meth, threatened to fight me.
Oh, so a Richmonder.
Yeah. I mean, so and it was like early on with my wife, girlfriend at the time. She was like, is this how it always? I mean, even early on, those fans were wild.
Yeah. Meth is a hell of a drug.
But. I mean, Mason fans took up two whole sections that game.
Sweet.
So yes, now did we have a nice little section, of course, but I want to get it back to where Mason fans are traveling down to Richmond. It's a beautiful drive.
But to be honest, though, did you expect a win? Did anybody really expect a win going? And granted, we were coming in with some momentum, back-to-back buzzer beaters, we got it. But in the back of our minds, everyone thought this is another loss.
I predicted a loss.
Right.
And I thought we had no chance inside to battle with Lane and Tillman and just the slew of guys that get to come off the bench.
And so we won. And what does this do for our momentum heading into Richmond versus Richmond senior night? And then even looking ahead to the A-10 tournament where we could potentially secure a 4 seed. We're currently there now. If we beat U of R, that's a guarantee. So what do you think this does for the team? It builds some character.
You know, I think we've been building character all season long.
Really?
Well, because, I mean, this wasn't our first buzzer beater. Otis hit one at St. Joe's in a home game.
And JMU was a crazy finish, too.
Right. So, I mean, we have been, you know, I mean, that game was nuts. I mean, Gonar, whatever, let's not get into it. That's so far long ago.
Sure.
But either way, I think our confidence has been building. What really impressed me with this VCU win is kind of how we did it. We did it with 6 guys. Kyer fouled out, was really irrelevant all game long. Yeah, you know, I think he battled. I think he, you know, he was forced to guard like some bigs and he gave some tough fouls, but really fouled out pretty early. But wasn't a factor. AJ got hurt. We didn't really have anybody off the bench.
But look at the game flow, too, to talk about character. To go up substantially, I think it was 22-8 at one point, and then to sort of give it back, I think we were up by 4 at halftime, and then to just flat out give up the lead, it just looked like a standard loss. I think we were down 10 late. And for Otis to make those shots, for Mar to make those shots, to get the turnover, to get the tip in, all of that was just...
And again, Otis wasn't just hitting from deep. He's been able to get to the bucket and finish over high defenders.
Oh, my God. When he sees a path, he just takes it.
Yeah, you can't – when that C parts, man.
Right. So what does this say moving forward for the U of R game? I know that we have a pretty dominant record against them.
Kind of funny because the U of R game's senior night, and we don't have any seniors. So it's like –
right, that's funny.
There's nothing special – like.
Jesus. Okay.
Nothing's, you know, so I think it's just going to be another game, business as usual. That's how Paulson's treated it. I actually tweeted out at By George GMU. If you look at Paulson after Boyd hits that game winner, the guy doesn't even celebrate. It's like, it's very just like he stays even keel. He's just about his business. And I think that's how we're going to enter the U of R game. I think we're going to go in there knowing he told us 3 weeks ago we want that 4 seed.
But let's not forget the last matchup. They didn't have Buckingham. We didn't have Greer, so that kind of was a break even there. But Golden had a that's their freshman. He didn't have too strong of a game. Who knows? I mean, Richmond has 10 wins, and it's freaking March, so
right. They're
obviously not a good team.
And we got Petey Buckets coming up in our second segment to break down U of R and kind of tell us how we can win and, you know, give us some facts about their last couple games. But just to go back to that VCU game, just because I was there, like, I can't even really give you details of play-by-play because I was just stuck in the moment.
Right.
I was sweating. I was... You know, they have so many media members there that I was actually in overflow, which was behind the student section. So I couldn't see. There was balloons in front of me. They were going nuts, of course. And I was just caught up being a fan because, you know, usually we're on media row and you can't cheer.
Right.
No one could hear me up there.
Right.
I was cheering my ass off.
Sure.
I was screaming. I was cursing. People were looking back at me. I mean, so I for a moment, I just got to be a fan, but and it was really enjoyable.
And what was really enjoyable was to see the Siegel Center completely deflate after just a, you know, this little tip-in. And then, like, granted, they had the they had to sort of elongate the ending, but we all knew that it was over. But it was just great to see a last-second win, you know, buzzer beater boy to get sort of the accolades from that.
Did you happen to see Calixt run onto the court thinking it was game?
Yeah, it looked like we had just, you know, beat Villanova.
Paulson
in the tournament.
Went nuts. Right. He like, oh, because Paulson was, like I'm saying, was all calm, went over, grabbed Mar, like pushed him back on the bench. That's the last thing we need in Richmond to get called with like a six man on the court BS.
And let's just talk about like some additional benefits of getting these three wins late. We have a few segments on SportsCenter. Scott Van Pelt had a 2-minute segment on us. We had Boyd interviewed on SportsCenter.
I think he opened a SportsCenter.
The actual game itself opened SportsCenter. WAPO, you know, they have articles featuring us. This is huge for recruiting. Getting the name out, selling the brand, Mason. You know, people are thinking, oh, who's Mason again? Oh, yeah, you know. The team that went to the Final Four, you know, the team that beat Villanova. Now we got the buzzer beater bit going. Let's get the name out there. You know, I don't know. I think it helps with at least some recruits out, in the immediate DMV area to at least know who we are.
And the Twitter world went nuts. I mean, Ian Boyd was trending.
Mason was trending.
Mason got 600 retweets and 800 likes on their Mason wins. Mid-season, they're barely getting 100 likes. I mean, it is sure. Blowing our name up. I think we have to love every second of it. I'm out there looking for all clips I can find.
And again, in a down year in the DMV where Maryland isn't good, George Washington isn't good, Georgetown isn't good, you know, to have any sort of bright spot locally and to get your name out there, it's going to help. You
right.
know?
We'll take all the buzz that we can get.
Yeah.
But
so
you know who interviewed Boyd before all of them?
I don't know. Who?
By George.
George. Wow.
You can catch that interview on giantkiller.co. Yeah, we interviewed him right after the game. Something I thought was super funny. Chris claims he's lying. He said he's not even paying attention to the attention. He just said he didn't even watch the SportsCenter specials.
What is he, 19, 20 years old? You're watching SportsCenter. Let's get real.
The guy told me he's playing Fortnite. He says that's all he's doing. So I don't know if that's true or not, but he's completely humble. I mean, I asked him just kind of – it was funny in the SportsCenter, one of the specials, the guys asked him, has he ever hit a buzzer before? And he said, in a YMCA game.
Right.
That was the last time Boyd hits a buzzer beater.
Let's project, though. Like, what if he hits another one versus U of R? I think it's safe to say he's getting a 30-30, right? Yeah. He's going to get a movie, maybe. Like, who would play Boyd in a movie, right?
I mean, it sure ain't me because I can't grow any facial hair.
Right, and you're a skinny white guy.
but, yeah, I think going into the U of R game, we better see EBA filled.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
This is the most hype that we've seen in 3 years.
Right. Unless we choose to take on a CBI game, this is the last home game of the
season. And I pray to God we do not.
Right. So, any other thoughts on the VCU game?
No, I mean, I can't stress enough just that feeling of being in the arena, having it go quiet, watching fans leave early, because a lot of fans didn't stay around for that last play. It took forever because they had to review both. They had to review both ball, like the how much time they had, and then the ball went out of bounds. Had to review it again. Fans were getting up.
Can we also talk about that final Mobley shot? He acted like he had like 4 seconds. He was like his like actual motion for shooting.
I mean, I don't think that was their game plan,
right,
to go to Mobley. But yeah, no, he did not get that shot off.
Right.
Mason was going nuts. I think it's got to feel good for the players. They're having a good time.
I feel good.
Right, and that's what you want. Like in a year where you're 500. You know, I know we could potentially be fourth, but as we keep talking about, that's kind of a mirage.
This is a season where the A-10 tournament's in D.C., and it didn't look as if Mason was going to really even bring any fans. I think the last three games has really cemented, like, a ton of fans' attention, and I think we're going to get some busloads of Mason students.
Right.
I don't know.
The hype is real, and okay. I think it's time to buy in. Do I think we're going to win the A-10 tournament? No. But can we make some noise? Can we win that first game? Sure. And okay. I think you just win one game and
move on from there. So
right.
I think that's all
guys,
that needs
stay
to be
tuned.
Said.
You know, we're actually at Sammy Beckett's?
Sam Beckett's.
Sam Beckett's?
Sure.
And we got Petey Beckett's coming up next. Sure. Stay tuned. I can make you this, baby. I can make you that. I can take you there, but baby, you won't make it back. Growing sick of this, and I don't want to make you sad. Do I make you scared? Baby, won't you take me back?
Are you tired of A-10 tournaments being held in Brooklyn and Pittsburgh?
In Atlantic City?
Kind of boring, right?
Right.
How about we drain that swamp and take it to D.C.?
The nation's capital.
Right. Capital One Arena, actually.
Right. So, I mean, if you're a Mason fan and you're not there, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
You're 35 minutes away.
Right. Barely. You don't even need to drive.
Yeah. You could just get on, like, a Metro bus. Hop on the Orange Line. Do whatever the hell you need to do, but get there and root Mason on, because we are like this close. You can't see me, but we're this close to securing a four seed and a double bye.
And check By George's Twitter at ByGeorgeGMU, and we're going to tweet out directions on how you can get there. By bus, by plane, I don't care. Just show up.
You can because walk. It's that close.
And bars, I mean, Chinatown's pretty cool. A lot of cool spots.
It's pretty cool.
Rocket Bar.
Hooters.
That's probably where you're going to find By George on our off time at Rocket Bar.
Yeah.
So come find us there. Buy your tickets. Go to gomason.com. Scroll to the bottom of the basketball page. They got tickets available. Buy your tickets. Show up. I'm sure there's some cheap student deals for you. Come be rowdy and root on a Mason victory.
And we're back.
And not only are we're back, but we're back with Petey Buckets. And you know what? Petey Buckets may have been the best addition that Giant Killer / By George has made in the past 3 years.
Sorry, Ron. Damn. Savage.
Right. Petey Buckets. Ron takes some pretty good pictures, guys. Yeah.
Say what's up to all your fans.
What's going on, Mason Nation?
And if you don't know by now, he's been our A-10 writer. He also writes a recap kind of the week for Mason basketball. And we're excited to have him on our podcast. Why? Because the guy knows everything about the A-10. Chris, kick us off with our first question for Petey Buckets.
Thank you. Mr. Buckets? Seriously though, why have we been completely dominating Richmond for so long? Like, it's just like year in, year out, it just feels like we just have their number. Like, what is it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I know at least the last 2 years, Richmond has been just as small as we've been. So I know we talk a lot about size at By George and kind of how, you know, Mason needs to be bigger, right? We're at a big size disadvantage against most every team we play. But last year, they ran four guards around T.J. Klein. T.J. Klein was the A-10 player of the year. He was their big man. But, you know, he was only 6'9". He didn't really block shots or protect the rim very well. Their second biggest player was Demonte Buckingham, who's 6'4".
Right.
And it's pretty similar to Mason, who, like, you know, Jair Greer is usually effectively our power forward, and he's 6'4", too.
Leading our team in rebounding.
Right, right, exactly. And they're actually pretty similar this year. They run four guards around Grant Golden. Grant Golden's a freshman. He's a fantastic player.
So we can kind of conceivably say that Golden has replaced Klein, and they're just running essentially the same offense.
It's very, very similar, yeah. Grant Golden plays a lot of sort of stretch four, kind of point forward kind of role for him. The two guards that they run out there as well, Quan Four and Jacob Gilliard, they're both pretty short as well. I think Quan Four is 6'2". Gilliard's a freshman. He's actually 5'9". So as far as matchup goes, Richmond is one that's pretty strange for Mason, because we're used to just being at a tremendous size disadvantage against almost every team we play, but that's not the case with Richmond.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, tail of the tape, the last game that we played down in Richmond, I can't specifically remember, but I do know that Golden didn't have that strong of a performance. Buckingham was out. Greer was out. So a lot of weird factors playing into that, but,
yep.
You know, what do you see coming into to the Fairfax matchup on Saturday? Do you think that this is pretty much, you know, penciled in as a win, or what?
Yeah, I don't think you can pencil anything in with this Mason team,
right.
or pencil anything in with Richmond for that matter. When we beat Richmond earlier this year, they were on a 5-game winning streak.
They were hot.
We snapped their 5-game winning streak. They beat VCU the next game. They actually swept VCU this season. And then after that, they went on a 5-game losing streak. So they've run hot and cold all season long, pretty similar to Mason.
And to kind of speak about how bad Richmond's been, they went on a 5-game winning streak and still only have, what, 10, 11 wins?
Yeah, so they were 2-10 in the out-of-conference schedule, I believe.
I mean, they were bad.
Right, and now they're 7-8 in the A-10.
Right. It's weird.
You know, they're at a conference. They played a good out-of-conference schedule. They played
right.
a lot of KenPom top 100 teams. But you know,
lost.
Still 2-8 is 2-8.
Right.
So, you know, it's, I guess it shouldn't be too surprising that they're a little bit better in A-10 play than they were in the out of conference, but, they've also had some stinkers. GW just beat them by 26 points, last week at the Smith Center. But you know, in addition to that, they beat Davidson this year and they swept VCU.
It's Richmond weird.
One thing I didn't mention, Richmond is also very young, a lot of freshmen and sophomores, in the rotation for them. So, you know, similar to Mason, they might come out guns blazing. They might put up a stinker, you know.
And they're playing for seeding, too, at this point.
They are.
I mean, they're right there in the mix of
you
that kind of.
You could say almost every team.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, no, they're in the mix specifically for, like, one of those early round buys.
Because no one wants that, like, first round game.
Pig match, no.
I mean, right. that's, you know, it's not necessarily a play-in game, but it's just like a Wednesday night.
It's a play-in game.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
They call it the first game. Round.
It's called the play-in game.
Right, it's the play-in game.
Yeah, it's a play-in game. But my question is, yeah. So what are the thoughts, like, and I know you're not from Richmond or you're not from, like, the Richmond boards or anything, but the Mooney hot seat. Had to have been hot and then kind of cold and now hot. Like
yeah.
I didn't know that he signed a 10-year extension after going to like the Sweet 16.
It was a tad aggressive.
10-year extension?
But they also had that – like, do you remember who the big guy was at Richmond that year that was – he got drafted by the NBA? Like, they had some studs.
Oh, jeez, so. I don't remember his name.
Well, it got Chris Mooney paid.
Right.
I think the hot seat talk is all premature. I think he's under contract until 2022. Richmond is
Jesus
not the
Christ.
Kind of school – Richmond's a private school. They got a lot of money. Do they have enough money to pay two coaches for the next 3 or 4 years, I think, is the question.
Apparently we do.
I think
and
they
I don't
have
think
a 5-year
–
they have like they can buy him out for $5 million, though, and they have the money to do that. So I think that there's an avenue to kind of get rid of him.
You know, I don't know because I think, you know, Mason's really excited because we bring everybody back from this team next year,
yeah.
right? Richmond brings back all their starters. Their only seniors are a couple of bench guys who don't get a ton of minutes and who aren't, you know, what you would call impact players. So I think, you know, it's really easy to make a case for Mooney that next year Richmond's probably going to be a whole lot better. And, you know, at the mid-major level, at the A-10 level, you know, there are very few coaches that are actually good enough to consistently put out quality products. But, you know, I also think the time that they made the Sweet 16 was the last time they even made the tournament.
Right.
And I think that's part of the mounting frustration. But
you have to imagine that you win brownie points when you beat the crosstown rival twice. I mean, that's almost as good as, you know, winning 18 games.
Like, look how excited we were for splitting with VCU.
Right.
And Richmond swept VCU this
right.
year. So.
It's just this year is a bit of an anomaly for yeah. every team in the A-10. I think you have to kind of throw it out.
Such
because,
a strange year.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if we could sweep another team, though, we've already swept UMass, St. Joe's.
Yeah,
if we could add a third team to that sweep, I'll be psyched.
Right. And so, like, currently right now, PD, and you would know more, what teams do we just currently own in the A-10? And we don't necessarily have to have swept them this year, but mm-hmm. what are our best matchups leading into the A-10 tournament? Who do we kind of want to face?
Who do we want to face? I think that's a – yeah.
Obviously, Richmond's typically –
I feel like karmically, I don't know if I want to answer that question.
I know. It feels weird for me to even ask.
First round or two.
But it's like I feel like notoriously, like as of late, we've done well against the Richmonds. You know, we lost to Davidson this year, but, like, we usually play Davidson pretty well.
I'm going to cut you off right here, Chris.
I would not want Davidson this
because
year.
Because we're actually going to do an A-10 podcast with PD next.
My bad.
So can
my
we
bad.
Stick to the
Sorry.
Richmond topic?
I
we
I'm
talked about
thinking,
this
okay.
in before we even got here.
Okay.
PD, aren't you going to go as credentialed on Saturday? Isn't that the plan?
I don't believe so.
So you're going to go as a fan?
It's the last game here in the Gold Room, man.
Oh, here we go. So, we can't even get Petey to show up to Media Row when we can't be there. So why can't we be there?
I'll be tweeting from my seats.
Why can't we be there, Jones?
It's my wife's birthday.
So by George, will not be there for the last home game of the year.
Yeah, way to make me feel bad. Of course I don't want to miss this game. Even though we don't have any seniors for senior night, it's still going to be popping. I actually think it's going to be a big crowd.
You know who will be there? Ron Johnson.
Right,
snapping
the guy
pictures.
That you threw under a fucking bus.
So, Peter, give us your prediction. I know karma, you don't want to blah, blah, blah. What do you think is going to happen Saturday, 7 o'clock?
Yeah, let's do like your prediction of the first half, your prediction of the second half, and then sort of the final score.
That's a lot of pressure, you guys.
But it's kind of easy to say we're going to have an early lead and then blow it.
When you put the microphone in front of your face, pressure's coming.
And the truth comes out.
Yeah. So in regards to the first game that we played against Richmond, I don't know how much you can take from that. Because DeMonte Buckingham was suspended for the game. Jair Greer had that foot injury. Both teams are playing shorthanded. Another similarity that Richmond has to us, they're small, they're really young. They also don't get a ton of bench minutes. They're bottom, I think, 15 in the country in bench minutes KenPom. So there are just a ton of similarities between Mason and Richmond. So I think there's kind of a lot that you can throw out from the first game. A couple things that I saw that I liked was that Javon Green had what I think was his best game as a Patriot. I think he had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a few steals. I'm not looking at the numbers, so I might have that wrong, but he had a tremendous stat line last time. And I think part of that is because Javon's a big physical guard, that doesn't always show up when he's playing against other guards who are big and physical, but Richmond runs a pretty small backcourt, so I think that's something that could work in our advantage.
And that was something that Keese exposed last year, being like a physical guard.
That's right. Keese also, we'd be remiss not to mention that Keese actually blocked TJ Klein on a turnaround last year. Not like a weak side help block where he came flying in, from across the paint. But TJ Klein tried to post up Marquise Moore, and Marquise blocked
him. And it was a legitimate Dikembe Mutombo block.
And it was, he was hyped about it when he did it.
Don't piss me off, because I'm still bitter that Marquise Moore was not first team. Wasn't Klein player of
the year last year?
Klein was player of the year. Yeah.
Klein was player of the year, but I was thinking, maybe Marquise could actually win player of the year. Okay, well, he didn't win player of the year. Maybe he'll get first team. No, he got second team?
He should have gotten first team. That was a travesty.
Oh my God.
So we could go down this rabbit hole as Mason fans, I brought it up, so my fault.
One other thing. I think you mentioned that Grant Golden, their freshman big man, had a bad game the first time.
Right.
So I really like the way that Greg Kalix defended him. Grant Golden from Richmond, he's a really skilled player, but he's very much a finesse player at this point in his career.
Right.
And I think Greg was really pretty physical with him and made him uncomfortable. And I would like to see that again, because Golden was definitely out of sorts last game, and I think that Greg had a lot to do with that.
And that was still sort of in the early days of Kalix was still sort of emerging on his own too. So, I mean, Golden was had arrived before Kalix. So, and we saw a strong performance from Kalix early on in the VCU game. So, it's kind of up in the air. I agree. Yep. It's not going to be a penciled in W for Mason. But
well, did we get a prediction? I heard some first half. I didn't get a full-on prediction from PD Buckets.
I think it's going to be a close game. I know Mason, I don't know if my heart can handle another one of these.
Dare you say buzzer
so
beater?
Close. I think I'm going to not predict a buzzer beater just because the odds of those feel astronomically slim for a fourth game in a row. But I think it's a close game. I think that my hope is that Mason will pull away at the end. I don't know if it's going to be the kind of game where we build up a big, 15, 20-point lead. That's been a real pain point lately. We've been giving away leads.
And we kind of need to. When you look at all these games, thank God we built up those big leads, because if not,
we're down big.
Would we have gotten smoked?
I think the matchup with Richmond is going to be much more of a sort of trading buckets all game long kind of matchup. So I don't know if any team takes a double-digit lead at any point in the game. My guess would be that Mason's going to pull away at the end.
Who on our team, would you predict may pop off against Richmond? Who has a good sort of you know, matchup versus, you know, their team. Do you see one of our bigs, you know, maybe exposing them, or do you see a guard? Do you see Otis? You know, like.
So I mean, I think Otis has just been incredible lately. I think you can pencil him in for having a great game. I mean, you know, 50% of his games this season have been, you know, beyond good and have been excellent. So I think if you're looking for sort of a less heralded player, I might go back to Javon Green. I really think that, you know, if he gets some run in this game, he'll have opportunities. He'll have a good matchup.
That's going outside the box.
And you can see he wants it. Like, you can almost, like, see that it factor. Like, he kind of has a swag. He can get to the bucket. He's not scared to let it fly.
When he lets it fly, he kind of has that Kamari Newman, like, they look good, but they're not dropping. Right. So, like, they'll eventually fall. But you don't think that Mar, with his size against Richmond, is a mismatch?
And Mar could. And Mar also had a great game the first game.
Right.
I forget exactly what his stat line is, but the way Mason has run all season long has basically been, you know, who's going to help Otis? Like, Otis is going to get his. Who else is going to show up today? And last game it was Mar and Javon. I think it could be Mar. I think we could also see a big game from Kyer. Kyer shoots really well at the rim. He's close to 70% at the rim so far this season. And Richmond doesn't have a ton of rim protection. Grant Golden blocks a shot or two per game, which is pretty good.
But he doesn't scream athletic.
And what Mar does really well is, like, he actually, like, he can control himself. So he shot fakes when he gets an offensive rebound. He knows how to kind of maneuver his body around the basket. I'm really impressed with the freshman. I think that
his jumpers, just, you know, beyond shooting threes, he could hit like a 16-foot jumper and it looks crisp.
He's just silky smooth. Like, he was so good in that VCU game.
For freshman. Yeah.
Besides his kind of hashtag size, I don't really know what. Like, he's tall, but he's not quite beefy enough yet to be pounding in the paint. I don't really know a problem that I have with him.
Me either. you're
so
you the choir.
You brought up. I think we all predict a win. Sure, show up. We're not going to show up, but you know, Petey, we want to give you the chance. Yes, this is just, you know, we talked about VCU early on. In this show, but we want to give you a chance to kind of talk about what you saw.
Your two cents.
And just kind of, you know, how pumped are you? We finally got a win.
Or
in
what
Richmond.
Did you even see in the stats? Did you see anything that was glaring? You know, like.
Yeah. So I think the one thing that I like to do is go and look at the play-by-play that's posted on GoMason.com after every game. And, you know, I admit that I was not hopeful. Mason went down 11. I think the score was 75-64. So if you go,
so you were doom and gloom.
I was doom and gloom, man.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this story before, right? Mason gets up to a big lead on the road against a good opponent, and you know, it all just evaporates really quickly. But you know, I think Mason goes down 75-64. Otis hits a three. We get a stop. Otis gets into the lane, gets two more free throws, and so then I think the margin is six at that point. Isaac Van from VCU hits a three from the corner like he was doing all night, and it felt like a backbreaker, right? Because now we're down nine again. And then on consecutive possessions, I think we got another Otis three, then we got a stop, and then we got a three from Gonar. So all of a sudden, the margin's 3 points. And I think more than anything that you're going to take out of the box score from the VCU game, I just love the way that this team scraps and claws and just does not stop fighting. I thought that was, you know, sort of a real testament to the coaching staff and the personality of the guys on the team that, you know, down 11 on the road in a hostile environment in a game you're not supposed to win, that's an opportunity to kind of pack it in, right? And these guys just, they just kept fighting. And it's a real, you know, real testament to the way that these guys, the way these guys play and the way that the coaching staff prepares them.
Did you think that there was any chance that Otis was not taking that last shot? Like, you know, because Boyd hits back-to-back.
It was a clean look.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was fading away. But Mar had been dominating. Did you think someone else was going to take that shot?
The only way someone else would have taken the shot is if they double-teamed Otis, which I'm kind of surprised that they didn't. But
they did put two guards out there to kind of try to stop that corner pick and roll. It was Paulson actually mentioned it in the presser that it was different, that they hadn't done that once all game. But since we ran it so many times, they had to do something different because Otis continued to kill them off of it.
Right.
They planned for it. We still got a shot off, a clean look. He was fading away a little bit. Like, I don't know if I'd call
it clean. He hits those. That's part of his game, though. Yeah, right. He's got that mid-range little step-up fadeaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you watch the Davidson-St. Bonaventure game, Davidson had a strategy where every time Jalen Adams came off a ball screen, Davidson was double-teaming him, and it was a way to get the ball out of his hands pretty early every possession. Jalen Adams still scored 34 points, so take that for what it's worth. But I kind of thought that we were going to see something a little bit more like that because we did not get much in the way of offensive production outside of anybody but Otis and Gonar. I think, Boyd
still
and
still put up 81 points.
81
right?
points, but I think Boyd and Greer both took more shots than they had points. So I think Boyd had like 10 points on 11 shots. Greer had, 12 points on 13 shots, which isn't, which isn't a very efficient night. But, Gonar and Otis were absolutely awesome. So I did think that they were going to try to force the ball out of Otis's hands. And, that's easier said than done. We've seen it all season long. He's great at splitting double teams. He's a ball on the string kind of point guard. It sounds easy to say we're going to force the ball out of Otis's hands, but not a lot of teams are actually able to do it.
So, yeah, of course, we got Petey Buckets on here, spitting facts, talking stats. But give us your emotion, Petey. You're sitting there on your couch.
What the hell are you talking about?
I want to know, what Pete, he's sitting there.
There are emotions under here.
What was the immediate reaction from Petey Buckets?
Did you stand up? You pounding your chest?
Do you immediately just turn to the phone and go,
are you tweeting?
A lot of screaming at my television. Yeah.
Is the fiance calm down, or is she all in?
She was on the phone with her mom, and I had to explain what Uncle fucking Nate meant. I still don't think she understands, but
no,
yeah.
That's kind of funny because hold on, Petey texted me after the Uncle Nate stuff, and he was like, where does this come from? And we both
I felt so old. I was so confused. Like,
we
where
sat
does
there
Uncle
for
Nate
like an
from?
Hour, yeah. Like trying to figure it out, and finally came to us like Uncle Drew. Mm-hmm. Looked up his name. His middle name's Nathaniel. Mm-hmm. Uncle Nate.
Right.
One of
Boyd's
nine nicknames.
Old. Boyd's like 20, but he could pass for 35.
Right. Right. Yeah. So all three of us predicting a win. I think let's be that fourth seed.
Let's be the fourth
I
seed.
I feel like somebody should predict a loss just so we don't,
ourselves. I'll predict 86-84 buzzer beater loss.
So we're missing.
Ian Boyd accidentally tips it in our own.
So we're missing.
Chris
like
is going to be that asshole.
We're missing a massive game if they're both teams are scoring 80 points.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I blame you. Guys, this is By George. And we're out.
Still in my pants though, all VVS's. Put you in a necklace. Girl, you look beautiful tonight. Stars on the roof, they're matching with the jewelry. Damn, my hippie gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Romo for clowns and all the balls. Oh, my hippie gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo.